Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk, the podcast devoted to the CBS TV show Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is my mother's evil twin, Tim.
I look nothing like your mother. I've actually never met your mother, so I really don't know if I can make that statement to be true.
Just because you remind me of Astra so much.
Am I that much? I am a very tall, beautiful, middle-aged woman.
That is true. She's not middle-aged.
I'm very tall.
She's before middle-aged, trust me.
What is middle-aged now? Does that change? Because people
probably
because people live longer. So I would assume that middle age actually extends further out.
Yeah.
This is an interesting question that has nothing to do with this show.
None whatsoever.
No.
You are drinking a cocktail, my friend.
I am drinking a cocktail.
We are having ourselves a little adult beverage whilst we talk some Supergirl.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So get ready for rowdiness. Not really.
It's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
Shall we start with some follow-up?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Tell me things.
Yeah, we had lots of emails again this week. Thank you again, all of you amazing listeners. It's great to hear from all of you. Send us your feedback at supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. Like Scott did. Scott is our buddy from the Suicide Squadcast. Great mm-hmm. podcast about DC entertainment and kind of the broader DC expanded universe.
Indeed.
And Scott says this episode was stronger than the pilot. He's talking, of course, about episode 2. Right, so we're following up on episode 2.
It's stronger.
Stronger together than the pilot. Much better pace, perfect doses of plot and character in a 60-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised to see how, in this universe, Kryptonite is apparently super secret, right? Because Kara didn't know about it. I'm going to call her Kara, like, so many times. I'm going to keep calling her Kara, and I'm going to keep saying Jimmy Olsen.
And I'm going to call you Cat Grant every time
you do
it.
There you go. Exactly, and you should. I deserve it. Until I shake the habit. But surprised to see that Kryptonite is apparently super secret. Nobody seems to know about it outside the DEO, except he assumes Superman. Even the other Kryptonians are surprised by his existence, right? Because Astra was surprised she didn't know where it came from.
Right.
Love Aunt Astra having an Edna moment. Darling, no capes. he actually wrote that in. and was surprised that Astra revealed herself so soon, but definitely got a General Zod vibe off of her. I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't expect the face-off to happen that quickly.
I didn't either.
But it definitely, she did feel sort of like, you know, I am your leader. Kneel before Astra.
Well, she is their leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but our leader. Like, she's acting like, you know, okay, I'm taking over Earth. Just move over. This is me. This is my thing.
Oh, leader. Mm. Right.
Oh, that claw.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for how I was going with that.
Yeah.
Yep. Because they're both aliens.
Got your back.
Okay.
However, she was talking to that mystery man at the end who Scott assumes is Non.
Yes.
And we did have a couple. Someone did point out to us that the credits verify that is actually not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the one we can see, not the one off screen.
Yes, I was referring to the one off screen.
Yeah. Oh, we should follow up on that too. So
yes,
so we later looked back, Tim and I, and realized that we were both right because
yes.
There was the guy you could see, and there was someone off screen who I had forgotten about. She talks to another voice off screen.
Oh, so. Right. So the guy you can see is Non.
Right.
But the guy you can't see is unconfirmed. I was referring to the guy you can't see,
off-screen.
And you were referring to Non.
Right.
Okay. This is good.
We're
never both right.
It's very rare. Usually one or the other. Scott goes on to say, DEO knows about the Fortress of Solitude? Question mark. Henshaw's eyes glowing red. That's obviously one that we're still mulling around.
And we still get it. And we get again.
And we got again this week. Right. Show has me hooked even more. Up and away. Scott. So thanks, Scott. The red eyes thing, I guess we'll talk about that more. I have some more thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Do they have to do with Martian Manhunters and Oreos?
Andre wrote to say he can't believe they outdid themselves in episode 2, after such a great pilot. Obviously everyone loves the chemistry between Kara and James,
mm-hmm.
and the concept of trying to break out of her cousin's shadow, something we also saw again this week, obviously. So
mm-hmm.
That was something that you know, it's still being sort of talked about online. I think there's a lot of conversation. I think there will be a lot of conversation about it, you know, in the coming weeks. But yeah, overall, we seem to have a lot of great feedback from a lot of people. So thank you guys so much. Another email from Jesse. One interesting thing I noticed this week is that James Olsen knows Superman's secret identity, right? Mentioned
right.
last week that it was Clark.
Right.
Mentioned it casually. Seemed like a big deal to Jesse. Is this something that's standard in comics now? It's not something I remember ever happening, but as noted above, Jesse says that his knowledge of current Superman canon is pretty zero. Right now, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know this, cover your ears about current what's going on in the... In the current Superman canon,
but I do know.
Jimmy does know, and yeah. and so it started with Jimmy found out, and then actually pretty quickly after that, Clark's identity became totally public.
Right.
So that's what's going on right now. Jimmy definitely knows,
right.
but that is somewhat rare.
Their dynamic, yes, it is, but their dynamic in the comic right now is that Jimmy's pretty much Clark's only friend.
His only friend, yeah. He's kind of an outcast.
He's basically got Lois and Clark. I mean, Lois and Jimmy. And he's kind of an outcast, and so Jimmy Olsen is Superman's best friend and Clark's best friend because they're one and the same. So
Jimmy Man's pal Jimmy Olsen,
right?
Jimmy Man's pal Super Olsen.
Yeah,
Superman. This drink's already getting to
you've
me.
You've had two sips.
I've had, yeah, exactly.
You've had two sips.
Yep, two sips. No more, no less. Thanks to all of you guys though for sending us your thoughts. You know, if you want to have your emails read in the show every week. We'll be reading them, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. If you want to hear your emails read, we can't read them all on the air, but we do read them and respond to many of them via email as much as we can. So thanks to all of you guys, and keep them coming. Keep them coming, and we will keep reading them. Shout out to Corinne, who we read one of her emails last week, and she wrote back again and again and kept saying, like, hey, you know, I'm going to be writing these sort of recaps every week of new episodes. So, you know, if you want to read them, go ahead. And I just wrote back to her and said, you know, why don't you just write them as blog posts for our website and we'll publish them every week. And so if you go to supergirltvtalk.com right now, you will see reviews of episodes 1 and 2, and possibly by the time this is up, maybe episode 3 as well. Mm-hmm. But there will be an episode 3 review forthcoming. But yeah, Corinne writing these great reviews. She's a huge Superman fan for decades now. And knows a lot about the history of the character, and we're super thrilled to have her, you know, with so much passion writing reviews for us on the site. Really well written, with a great, great point of view because of her knowledge of the character so much. So thanks, Corinne. Shout out there, and find her reviews at supergirltvtalk.com.
Indeed.
All right. Before we dive into episode 3, Fight or Flight, let's talk about somebody who I think is really awesome. And that's not you. No, no. Don't do that again.
I made that joke last week. I wasn't going to do it again.
I saw you chopping at the bit that you were like, me?
Yeah.
No.
Some things are just for you and not for them.
That is that is
and
true.
And my faces that I make are purely for you.
Your face is just for me.
Mainly because this is an auditory show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just talk. Right.
Yeah, I will. You take a sip of that. All right. Well, this episode of Supergirl TV Talk is brought to you in part by Supergirl.tv. It's the web's destination for all the news, rumors, and even spoilers for the Supergirl TV show on CBS. It's one of our top sources for up-to-the-minute Supergirl news, and we sincerely do think you'll love it, too. It's been a really, really big help for me personally, as I'm usually the one who's sort of tweeting on our Twitter account, and I find it to be a great, great source of news, you know, up to the minute as things happen. I'm always finding stuff there. You can visit the site and learn and stay up to date on everything happening with the show. That's everything from, you know, here are clips from next week's episode, here's the trailer as soon as it airs, here's interviews with the cast on various talk shows and in different magazines and all everything that you need to know. And what I really like is that they kind of give you the snippets, the things you need to know, really a quick hit if you just want to read it really quickly. All sorts of great stuff. Oh, episode image galleries. Best of all, it's advertisement free. It's by fans, it's for fans, and it's a labor of love. And it really, really is. We know the guys who run the site, and they are very passionate and really, really care about what they're doing. So all fans are welcome to also come by and join the live chat and the forum communities. And I like to follow the site on Twitter at Supergirl TV site. Great place to kind of get those updates wherever you are and, you know, kind of go off to the site from Twitter and see what's going on. So we love them. Thanks so much to Supergirl.tv for sponsoring this episode of Supergirl TV Talk. So, shall we get into our episode discussion? You took some notes. I took some notes. I was tweeting with the people, with our friends here.
Mm-hmm.
But I did.
So what you're saying is that I'm not invested in this as you are.
That's not true.
No.
I'm saying you're invested in getting all the details down, and I'm like,
because I'm invested enough to take notes.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Also because I don't understand the Twitter. How does it work?
It's a big Twitter machine. You know, we contribute in different ways. You contribute in one way, and I contribute in other ways, and that's what teamwork's all about.
Indeed. I find the many, many birds, and we put them in the Twitter machine.
No, that's not. No.
Nope. Nope. Okay.
Yep. Tim, we're stronger together.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm just gonna fight you, or maybe I'll fly away.
Yeah,
I don't know. So many mixed messages.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so episode 3, Fight or Flight. So we begin where we left off last week, right?
Yeah, exactly where we left off. Cat's suspension is broken in the bottom of her car.
That's right.
And she gets flown to a plateau of some kind, which I would assume is just a skyscraper, but it looked like
some kind of like a hill or like a, you know, like a...
I couldn't really tell.
Clearing.
I couldn't really tell. And Kara, want to take a sip?
Yeah, oh God. Well, this could get dangerous. Every time someone says Kara or Jimmy, take a drink.
Yeah, right, here we go. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So she does this interview with Kat, who is a rude interviewer.
Yes, very much so.
So rude.
Very rude.
So, but
why you gotta be so rude?
And she does this like nice little fly around, like I don't want to look you in the face kind of thing.
Yeah.
And finally, she's just like, ugh, you know, my cousin doesn't have to answer questions like this. And it was ooh, Superman's your cousin, eh?
Yeah,
like, gotta go. Bye. I'm gonna leave you on top of this plateau.
Because I'm
a super dick.
I'm Cat's just sitting there like, but what about my car?
Yeah.
How am I gonna? Your
suspension's broken. It doesn't matter anyway. Yeah. Sorry.
Womp womp.
I like Cat saying the freezy breath thing.
Yeah.
I do like when shows recognize, some people don't like this, but like when shows recognize some of the sillier concepts and do poke a little bit fun in some people's eyes, that it doesn't make it okay to then still use it. I like if you could poke fun of something, then it's therefore okay to maybe use that.
Yes,
you know, particularly in this arena.
I agree.
It's
fun. It's just fun. It's kind of making light of what we know is already silly, like, you know, flying people who can freeze breath with laser vision. Like, that's silly. It's fun. We like it. But it's what we can acknowledge. It's silly.
It's heat vision, not laser vision.
Okay. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
We're going to get letters.
Turn of
phrase. Yeah, okay.
Turn of phrase.
All right. So Kat is going to write this expose. It's a kind of Kat-centric episode, which in a lot of ways it is. Which I enjoyed. I think even the writers recognizing her as maybe one of the stronger characters on the show. And so they're giving her a good amount to do because she's really, what's her name? Allie McBeal. Help me out.
Elizabeth Lockhart.
Thanks. Allie McBeal popped into my head and I was like, I can't get out of this.
Mrs. Ford.
Thank you. She works every scene that she's in. And despite how charming Melissa Benoist is as Kara is on screen, when Kat's on screen, that's who I kind of want to watch. And that just might be the personality, that's because it's like that, you know, Devil Wears Prada. We talked about this before.
Yes.
And it's an interesting thing to develop. And it's a, you know, an alpha in the room controlling everything. It's fun. The dialogue in this show is very topical. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
She talks about like Vogue's cover of
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
And they do make, they make very topical current references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I feel like that hurts shows on rewatch value.
Yeah.
When things are topical, they lose their rewatch value because, you know.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, I've been, I think I mentioned on this show, that I'm rewatching Smallville in my spare time. And there are lots of, especially the Chloe Sullivan character makes lots of, you know, very hyper current references, that, you know, some of which just don't make sense anymore. And I think back, I'm like, oh my God, 2003, that was such a current reference. Like, you know, someone tracking someone being like, you lowjacked me. It's like lowjack. Like, whoa. Like,
wow. Right.
Remember when like having a GPS device in something was like a big deal.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I guess that works for like a lot of movies. Like if you ever watch like the Mission Impossible movies, like Mission Impossible 3, they're like, we could check it out on the digital camera. And
right,
you're like,
right.
You can do that on your phone now. Exactly.
You know. So yeah, a lot of that happens. And yes, it does kind of, you know, when you rewatch it later, it might take you out of it. But for now, it's really good for the current audience.
Yeah. To go off of that, though, Hank Henshaw mentions keeping up with the
Kryptonians.
Keeping up with the Kryptonians. Yeah. And I was like, you like reality television. Like, that was a joke.
That was really clever.
That was a good joke. You made a joke, Hank Henshaw.
Yeah, yeah.
And I appreciated your topical reference. But again, he's making a joke.
Mm.
I guess we can skip forward to this glowing eye thing. Well, since we're talking about
Before we do that, did you notice that he was making a joke? He went back to calling her Miss Danvers when she was around. And like last week, he said Supergirl at the end. Like maybe that means
there are two Hank Henshaws.
So maybe, I doubt it. By the way, I don't know if you saw, but on our Twitter account, I did make a Keeping Up with the Kryptonians meme.
I didn't see that because I don't follow you on Twitter.
You don't follow us on Twitter?
But no, I'm just kidding. I'm such a twit that way.
It's fine. You're fine. We like you anyway. So I am wondering, yes, okay, is he Martian Manhunter? Is he just plain Hank Henshaw, the cyborg Superman?
Well, he appears to have psychic abilities.
Okay, where are you going with that from?
Okay, all right. I've got two things here. I've got to flip my page.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's take a case.
Okay, so Alex is in the little room and she's helping Kara on the computer.
Yes.
And he turns around and goes, Alex. And his eyes glow red. Mm-hmm. And so this is my two things. He's either Cyborg Superman. He's either a cyborg. And he's hooked into the network. He's hooked into the DEO network, which is why he knows that Alex is doing something on the network.
Okay.
Or he's psychic and he's kind of like he's got this mind sweep.
He's like reading her thoughts or something.
He's reading her thoughts and he knows. It could go either way.
That's possible.
I mean,
that's possible.
Based on what we know about Hank Henshaw from the comics, we know Hank Henshaw in the comics is basically a Mr. Fantastic knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that storyline in which the original one is just they go to space and he goes with the friends and his wife and they all experience this like body horror stuff. But instead of getting like these amazing, incredible superpowers, they all die, or his wife pretty much like disappears into another dimension or something like that, and he becomes this cyborg who goes crazy and destroys Coast City.
He decides he wants to Superman's dead, but he still wants revenge on Superman for not saving his wife. So he's like, even though Superman's dead, I'm gonna masquerade as Superman, I'm gonna raise everyone's hopes, and then I'm gonna do something horrible. Commit like a huge atrocity to deface the name of Superman forever.
Mm.
And that's what he does in the comics.
Right.
He destroys an entire city. So we do see something that like someone named Hank Henshaw who looks like he's some kind of a cyborg.
Right. Cause traditionally he's mostly cyborg, but he's got like a quarter of his face is Clark Kent's or Superman's face.
In the comics. Right.
But the other eye is traditionally red.
Yes.
And so that's where
it's like half Terminator, half Clark Kent's face.
Yeah, that's an easy... Yeah. It's definitely of the Terminator age.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely influenced by that.
Absolutely.
So that's what he looks like in comics, but all I'm saying is like he definitely has... He is... If he has some cybernetics on him, then he's a cybernetic organism, which is a cyborg.
Right. And so... I'm just going to keep calling him Cyborg Superman because that's just what I know him as.
Okay,
but in the New 52, Cyborg Superman is not Hank Henshaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody else. So I don't want to spoil in case people are reading.
Sure.
It's not important for this story. I just don't know. I kind of want him to be the Martian Manhunter, even though I don't think he is.
So what reasons do we have for him being Martian Manhunter, other than the fact that red eyes is something that Martian Manhunter also...
The reasons are thus.
Yes.
Number one, I want him to be.
Okay.
Number two, the Martian Manhunter has... For those of you who don't know, the Martian Manhunter is a typically lone survivor of Mars, accidentally gets teleported from Mars to Earth, and is a superhero, and he's a shapeshifter, among other things, and he's in disguise, usually as some kind of cop or
detective agent
of some kind, something along those lines. And there are various versions of this through pre-New 52 and before and all these different things. But these shows take common enough characteristics of other things and they do merge them together.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because this is a Berlanti show, and The Flash is a great example of the first season. We have Reverse Flash and Harrison Wells and Eobard Thawne, and they took the basic concepts of these things and kind of merged it into different things
for
a general audience, but also for a comic audience to keep it on their toes. Because if you're just watching what you read, it can become dull because you can call what's going to happen. And so this way, at least, it's keeping everybody on their toes.
Absolutely.
And so that's one of the reasons that I think it makes, like, if he's the Martian Manhunter, then sometimes part of that character is to hunt down other aliens who are doing other things. That's part of what he does. Mm-hmm. And so no better place to do this other than the DEO.
So there's a lot
there.
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
because even the, like, his comment about, like, I had a wife.
Yeah.
Like, Martian Manhunter did have a family that was massacred on Mars.
Right.
And so there's still, like, enough there that it could go either way.
I almost wonder if it's intentional vagueness. They want us to make it's either one of those two.
It could be. Well, and traditionally, not traditionally, but Martian Manhunter tends to disguise himself as a person of color.
Yes, that's true.
You know, as like a, you know, to get like the marginalized.
The storytelling device. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He often chooses to disguise himself as someone who's African American
Depending on the incarnation and what version you're watching.
Right. And he's a shapeshifter, so he can change any at the drop of a hat.
Could be whoever he wants. Right.
Right. So this could be the form he's chosen to take. I can definitely go with that. But all those reasons hold water, whether you're trying to make a case for Martian Manhunter or whether you're trying to make a case for Cyborg Superman.
Well, I'm a waterbender, so
I'm thinking
that I can hold water pretty well.
Right.
And so,
wrong franchise. Yeah, but you know what I mean? So, like, it works whether you're making an argument for Henshaw or for Martian Manhunter. I kind of think that in this show, because they have been, like, I mean, there have been things that have been secret, but, you know, I don't think they would have hesitated to call him John Jones if he was going to be Martian Manhunter.
Oh, that's probably true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like something they would do, just call him John Jones, because John Jones is such a generic sounding name that no one who's not a fan would know what that means.
That's true. It's got that comic book alliteration to it.
Right.
Hank Henshaw, John Jones.
True.
Yeah.
True. And it's just like Jones. It's like, you know, it's like a common name.
Yeah. Director Jones.
Right. But Hank Henshaw, I guess, also does sound like just sort of like a regular.
Yeah. I guess you're also throwing, I mean, if it was Martian Manhunter, you are then technically throwing out a really great character.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? You're throwing away Hank Henshaw.
Right.
Just for the name to throw off a quarter of your audience.
Right. So it could go either way. I don't want to beat this point to death, but I guess really the arguments in both, you know, both sides do make sense. And like the whole thing about losing I used to have a family makes sense either way. Like it works. It works either way. So,
yeah. Definitely a cyborg.
Not definitely, because he's either a cyborg or an alien.
Yeah.
Definitely red eyes.
Definitely a cyborg alien.
He's definitely got red eyes. That's really all we've got going for us. But yeah, so Henshaw's like, no, you know, Superman fought this guy a couple times, and we actually didn't even cover the fight itself. She goes to try to stop
She goes to fight Reactron. She goes to stop the...
There was a traffic pileup to save people from the pileup. Reactron arrives and is like, oh, you're Superman's cousin? Well, I want to cause Superman pain. So, boom, I'm going to blast you with my nuclear blast rays.
Okay, so here's...
Stuff.
Your perfect description aside of his stuff.
Rays stuff.
What are his powers? Because I even wrote like that. I'm like, why can he fly?
Just cause?
I don't like just cause.
Because there weren't like any kind of like Iron Man type thrusters on the suit or anything.
If they had done that, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
But like, why can he fly?
People on Twitter were commenting that he looked too much like Iron Man. Like, it looked like an arc reactor that he had in his chest.
But that's...
It looked, you know, he could fly. He could blast beams out of his hands. Like,
I guess, but from that standpoint, anybody who wears a mask looks like Batman.
Right.
Or anybody who
I know.
Wears...
No, I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm just saying the commonalities were there. Okay, why can he fly? Either it is the technology in the suit, like it's nuclear-powered suit, or it's just that he's been exposed to radiation and he's gained powers.
Yeah, it's not the 60s anymore. I need something better than that.
Yeah.
Again, we've talked about this before, and I'm gonna go back to this thing. It's my singing crab, right? This is, we talked about, you know,
singing crab. I forgot about this. Yes.
This is my singing crab. You know what I mean? Like the crab cannot sing.
Yeah.
I understand that. But you know what I mean? I need to know why the crab can sing.
Right. And just, like Sebastian the Crab.
Right, exactly. Yeah. For those of you who are catching up right now, this thing with like fiction and adults know like
kids never question
why Sebastian sings, but adults do. And this is my singing crab moment. Okay,
yes.
Yeah. So I have a lot of like, if he needs Maxwell Lord, I'm gonna jump all over the place. I don't even care.
Go for it.
If Reaction needs Maxwell Lord to help him fix the suit, mm-hmm. how did Reaction get the suit to begin with? If he needs Maxwell Lord to do something with it, like
how did he do it in the first place?
Like there's like things like that.
Yeah, that are just unanswered questions. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, he had someone else's help. I don't know.
It's just not enough. Yeah, it feels like people are doing things because mm-hmm. the writers need them to do them.
Okay, that's a valid point you bring up. That is a bit of a plot hole. Like, how did he, if he needs Maxwell Lord's help now, how did he get away with it before, and how did we not figure out who he is until now? Like, it took them about 2 seconds to figure out, there was this power plant that Superman saved 5 years ago from terrorists who wanted to blow it up, mm-hmm. and these two people died, and they weren't accounted for, and it's this guy and his wife, and they both work there. And, oh my God, okay, I guess Ben Kroll is Reactron. Like Kara figured out in, like, a second when they gave her the information she needed.
Right.
And are you telling me Lois Lane wouldn't figure that out? Are you telling me Lois Lane and Clark Kent would not have looked into it and figured out, okay, this is Reactron, I'm Clark Kent, I'm Superman, I need to fight this person, they know who they are.
Like, well, yes and no. I want to say that maybe they did figure it. See, I'll back them on this. Maybe they did figure it out, but that's not, maybe, if he's never been caught, they're like, why would that be in a record of some kind? You know what I mean? Like, they're just looking at the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, they have.
They're not looking at, like, this is the time that Superman fought Reactron and mm-hmm, stuff like mm-hmm. that. They didn't look at any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. They looked at 5 years ago, Superman saved a plant. These people were missing. Boom. That's the only information they looked at. And so they didn't delve any deeper. They only clicked the first link in Google. They didn't go any further down. So, speaking of the computers, where's Wynn getting the money to buy all this stuff?
Well, I mean, and also, like, you just take over someone's, like, some dead person's office, and you're like, don't you think eventually that's going to be occupied again? Like, you just take over some room? Like, eventually someone's going to need that room again. You're going to get found out. It's not that safe. Not that secure.
I'm going to say yes, eventually. Maybe that's true. I'll give you that eventually somebody's going to. But, I mean, there are rooms in my building that haven't been used for years. You know what I mean?
Sure, but would you say that's a safe place to have a secret operation in those rooms?
Aren't you worried
someone's going to walk by or, you know,
not if you
stop
lock
in?
The door? What if he, like, puts up a wall there and they go, maybe there's no, like...
There hasn't been a room here in 30 years!
Yeah.
Right.
May's been dead for 30 years!
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That would work, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was
clearly, it's a work in progress because they don't have, like, there's it's all spackled
and
covered in tarps. Yeah. And so I'd be curious to see where they go, but... This is the Berlanti, like, we need to move quickly into this, you know, like, we need to set up. She has the suit. She has her powers. Base of operations.
Exactly.
Boom, boom, boom.
You need
boom,
an
boom.
Arrow cave. You need a Felicity. You need you need these things to.
Yeah.
Right. So when's the Felicity?
Or Cisco and a Caitlin and a Star Labs or whatever. These are the things you need to set up ahead of time.
Every show
does that. I mean, if you're watching Smallville, like, they had the torch, the newspaper.
They had the torch,
years.
They had the watchtower,
Oliver Queen had his plane, like, get an office, you know what I mean? Like, so there's just a lot of that stuff. It's a television show.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, like, where, like, you're working at a magazine, like, where are you getting this?
Yeah.
Where are you getting this money?
Yeah.
Honestly.
He's the IT guy, though. So he's the IT guy, so he has access to the company's computers and stuff.
That's so maybe he stole them from the company?
Borrowed.
I'm sure he would use the word borrowed.
They're
still in the company, technically.
They're not.
They're still in the building.
They're in the building.
He did say he outfitted with, like, the most modern stuff, though.
Yeah.
Well, my other thought is, like,
but Catco would have the most modern stuff.
Yes. We also, I mean, we know that he I think originally he was supposed to be the toy man, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who doesn't know, but the name Winslow Shot is the name of the toy man in
which
comics.
Which is just Superman villain.
Right.
Right. But can I say this in the spoilers? Spoilers, skip forward 10 seconds? Why not?
Yeah, I guess.
Somebody has been cast, whose name I can't remember, has been cast as his father, as the toy man.
Right.
Right. And so maybe his money just comes from that.
Could be. Could
yeah,
be.
We don't know. Yeah. That's where I'm going. That in my mind, that's where I connected it.
Maybe thus endeth the spoilers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a possibility. That's a distinct possibility. Yep.
Yeah.
So we have some fun moments when that's happening. Like we've got James and Wynn sort of competing for Kara's affection, and both trying to compete over I know who this is. I know who the Reactron is. He has these powers and blah blah blah. You know, that's kind of,
and it's absolutely, but it's so interesting because you could see James as an alpha male,
yes,
and Wynn as a beta,
yes,
but they're definitely both betas,
yeah,
because
they both have beta tendencies, but James definitely has alpha tendencies too.
Yes, but yeah. I think, but James, by de facto of his personality, where he's Superman's bro, Jimmy mm-hmm, Olsen, mm-hmm, and you know, like he wants to go out of the way to be his own man, but then he falls right back into the supporting this person role, whereas Kara really is the alpha of the group.
That's true.
In kind of her own way, even though she may not act like it.
But they are rallying around her.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Yeah,
she's the central figure.
Right, exactly. And so they are both betas.
In that sense.
In that sense, yeah. Like trying to get to the alpha.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic between the two. I just made it sound so unromantic.
No, but I know what you mean. But there is a little bit of the love triangle going on there.
A little bit.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean.
A little bit.
Well, okay. I say a little bit only because, so like, clearly Kara is into, she looks at James like he's one of her sticky bones. Wynn is still into Kara, obviously. And then we got the sense that maybe James is a little bit into Kara too.
Yeah.
So yes, there is
with their smexy dancing. Yes. Yeah.
But it's still very early, and
right,
no one is
no
talking
one
about their feelings
Frank,
yet.
But I'm dancing.
He's
right
dancing
now.
Beautifully.
Yeah. I'm a really good dancer in my seat.
You're such a good seat dancer. Mm. But you know what I mean? Like there is. It's still early, and people are still shy to talk about their feelings and stuff. But it's, you know, clearly there is some of that going on. But it's cool to see. Yes, there is the whole alpha beta dynamic going on. But there's also I also really like the dynamic of just sort of like them both sort of showboating a little bit to show like, I know stuff. I'm good at stuff. I can do things.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, if you want to be objective about it, like Wynn has done more so far. Like he made her suit. He built this base of operations for them. And James knows stuff. And James is,
I never even thought
is
about
hella
that.
Charming.
So true.
He's got his charm that and his good looks that he can coast on. But in terms of actual
arguably
action,
he's very talented too. He is an award-winning photojournalist.
But he hasn't used those talents to actually like do anything for Kara.
That's
yet.
So
really?
True. But that
do you
is
know what I mean?
That is part of this episode.
Right.
Truly. So right. I want to talk we could talk about that at the same time. Her identity crisis in this episode, mm-hmm. like I can be the hero. I don't need Superman to save me all the time.
Right.
I don't want to be the afterthought. It's a very meta message.
Yes. Yes.
In
absolutely.
This, the whole episode. This is really what, I don't want to say saved the episode for me, because I found the Reactron part kind of weak because of my singing crab things.
Yes.
Her identity crisis is like, I can be the hero. I can be this hero. I don't want to be like, oh, well, I don't want to be like the consolation prize, she says. That's very good. But James also doesn't want to be the consolation prize, and Wynn doesn't want to be the consolation prize.
Right.
And then apart from that, when she has her second fight with Reactron and he uses the signal watch, we got a signal watch, which was super cool.
Got a signal watch.
Which was a lot of fun. When he uses that to save her, you know, he says like, I use it when I'm scared. You know what I mean? So he's having his own
right.
identity crisis too.
Yeah. He's like, I'm scared. Like she's offended that you think I need my cousin to come save me all the time. Like, you know, what the hell? And he's like, no, I do that when I'm scared. Like I care too much about you to let anything happen to you. So I pulled the trigger because I was scared for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was, you know, a nice sentiment, but still like, yeah, dude, but you know, you didn't believe in her. Like you didn't believe in her enough to let her
That's true.
Do her thing.
But I, you know, it's funny because that all being said, she was definitely going to die if Superman didn't show up, which by the way, how loud did you squee?
You know, not as loud as you might think, actually.
Really?
You would think that I'd be, because like, you know me, I'm the guy that like when Tom Welling tore that shirt at the end of the Smallville finale,
right.
I was like, you know, screaming like a little girl. I'll be the first to admit that. But I was almost expecting it to happen at some point. I expected it to happen later.
Yeah, I didn't expect
things
it
are happening much sooner in general.
I didn't expect it in the third episode.
No, I expected it to happen later on. And I was, and then they went to commercial almost immediately after that. So I was still mulling it over during the commercial break. And I turned to my fiance and I was like, I'm actually like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. And she's like, really? Like, I thought you'd be all over the, like, you know, over the moon. And I was like, no, I mean, yeah, but I kind of wish they had made her figure it out on her own at this point in time.
But I think that's the meta crisis,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was so smart to introduce him, because to us, everyone is like, well, why wouldn't he just be there? Well, it's like when everyone watched Iron Man 3 and everyone like, why wouldn't you just call Captain America? Or why wouldn't
yeah.
you just call Thor?
Yeah.
Like, these are your friends. Why? Or this is your cousin. And so this is giving everyone a reason to say no. You know, and it also makes Superman seem like less like a jerk because he actually showed up. Because I've said this since
right.
season, like,
right.
have you not been in her life at all?
Right, we talked about that. Yeah,
and we could talk about the end of the show at the end of this talk. I'll save it to the end. And so, you know, where he IMs her and stuff. But we get a Superman save, but I think she needed that one save. And the audience needed that save for her to kind of like write herself and be like, okay, you know what? You got your one save. Everybody gets one, you know.
You get one.
Yeah, everyone gets one. And now she's on her own because she did something that Superman couldn't do, right?
Yeah.
She stopped Reactron
that
in
is
a
true.
Way that other that he couldn't, he could never figure out to do. Because I don't think he cares. Kara, almost slipped there. Kara has a support group. She has James. She has Wynn. Superman never doesn't have that. Superman doesn't have a team.
Yeah, no.
In classical Superman mythology. I'm not talking Smallville stuff.
Yeah.
I'm talking regular Superman. He doesn't have a team, a home base that he goes back to, and he's like, I need help figuring this out. That's not what Superman, like, he is kind of a loner that way.
Sort of, yes.
Because
yes.
Lois traditionally isn't helping him figure it out, especially when he's starting, right?
Right.
They
yes,
mentioned
yes,
that.
Yes.
When he's starting, he had to figure it out on his own, and that's what she wanted. But it's also her realizing there's no shame in asking for help, which is interesting because the previous episode, she said that it's honorable to ask for help as a Kryptonian, but now we've watched this whole other episode where she doesn't want to ask for help. Right?
True.
So one could see this as inconsistent writing, but I, as a optimist, see this as her having warring, she has a war within herself.
She's
conflicted because she's been on Earth for 10 years now, 10, 13 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time to be influenced by a culture. And so
yes.
now she's not really thinking as much as a Kryptonian anymore. She's really thinking as an Earthling.
Yep.
Or she's like this mixture of the two. So it's almost like convenient to spout the Kryptonian when she feels she needs to. But she's really falling back on this human side because she was raised still as a young girl. Teenage years are very influential, no matter what species you are, I would say. Apparently. And so this is kind of where she has ended up in this in between spot. And
yeah.
so yeah.
Yeah. No, that is a very interesting observation. My initial reaction was I was not that excited because I was like, I wish they had made her do it on her own. The other thing that I thought also was sort of like, hey, stronger together was a theme last week. And she learned this lesson of let other people help you when they need to help you and learn from them and learn with them. So maybe this is her. She needs to learn when to, you know, okay, I'm not there yet. He's been doing this longer. I need to let him help me here. The other thought that I have was, so yes, you're right. She did do what he couldn't do. She defeated Reactron. So she has gotten to a place beyond him because she has this support system behind her, and he doesn't, so presumably in this version of the story. Ultimately, I'm okay with it, but my first reaction was a little bit like I'm not sure I like it, and I'm not sure how people will react to it. Will people feel like this is a cop out to have him come in and save? I don't think that's how it's being taken overall by most people, but there was like a question that crossed my mind.
If he saved her at the end of the episode, that's a cop out.
Agreed.
But this is part of her learning curve, and you said that, like, she learned this stronger together theme last week.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's true, but it's like, I, like, you have to relearn, like, you have to stick with that thing. You don't, like, learn a lesson once in your life and go, well, I'm a better person forever, learned one thing.
Right.
You know, you learn these, that you always misstep, you always fall. And,
sure.
And she is a stubborn person.
As they said, and it runs in the family.
Right, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they must be Italian Kryptonians. Yeah.
I take offense to that.
Yeah. Because you're stubborn.
Bada bing.
If you did... I want, in his little CG Superman flyby, I did pause it. He does have a designed costume if you look at it.
Oh, really?
If you pause it.
Okay, yeah.
There is a fully formed design. He's got stripes running down the side, red stripes running down the side of him, as does Kara on her suit. And so my thought with that is, if you've designed a Superman suit to show up on the side, that means we're going to be seeing him again.
I think we may. Yeah. I think we very well might, and I think that when we do, it might be, and I think eventually we might actually see his face and stuff. And they're being very careful to say, like, oh, you know, don't expect to see him or anything, but I think at some point we actually might see an actor with a face, maybe even one that we recognize, cast as Superman in the show. Maybe. Maybe.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, how much would you just love it? If Tom Welling showed up as Superman.
Oh, my God, I'd lose it. I would lose it.
Yeah, you would be like, Superman's here, it doesn't matter.
I would lose it.
I take back everything I've ever said about Kara.
Yeah.
Can't Tim.
Take a drink. While Tim's taking a drink, let's talk about somebody else who's awesome here for a second. This episode of Supergirl TV Talk is also brought to you in part by InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. It's DiscountComicBookService.com. You know him and you love him, and so do we. And we're thrilled to have him back again. InStockTrades and Discount Comic Book Service are the best places online to buy your weekly comics and your collected editions. You can always save up to 42% on DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image Comics. There's some crazy sales going on right now. You could save a whole bunch of money. Clearance sales, some great things happening. 42% on Marvel and DC. Just amazing, amazing prices on things you wouldn't even believe. Like, for instance, right now, you can get Showcase Presents Supergirl Volume 1. This is a giant, like, telephone book sized book, 500 pages of Supergirl, early Supergirl stories. If you want to see, go back to the beginnings of the Girl of Steel and kind of see what made her, you know, what gave her her start, you can see some really, really amazing stories and with some great art. Stories written by people like Otto Binder. Remember in the pilot they mentioned the Otto Binder Bridge? Well, it's one of the creators of Supergirl. Otto Binder and Al Plastino. Jerry Siegel, one of the creators of Superman, also wrote some Supergirl stories. And then art by, you know, Kurt Swan and Dick Sprang and Wayne Boring and all these great classic, legendary writers and artists, these great creative teams who helped to bring Supergirl to life in the early days. This book is available on InStock Trades right now, 45% off at $9.34. $9, less than $10, less than $9.50 for 500 pages of Supergirl stories in a giant book that will keep you occupied for a long time. It's a great deal. It's a great place to buy your comics if you're as big a fan as Tim and I are. And if you're like Tim and I and you like to read your comics digitally, you can actually get 5% back on your digital purchases as well. All you need to do is link your Comixology account or your My Digital Comics account to your DCBS account. And then if you do your shopping through the DCBS website, there's a portal there. and all the shopping you do through that portal, you'll get 5% back on all your purchases, and you can apply those to your next DCBS purchase. So great way to kind of feed that comic book addiction. So visit them online at instocktrades.com and dcbservice.com. That's DCB service, as in discount comic book service. And thanks again to InStock Trades and DCBS for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk this week. So after this Superman appearance, there's a little bit of a conversation between Kara and James about, like, you know, why didn't you trust me? And he says the whole thing about, I just, you know, I was scared. I care about you too much.
And then they smexy dance.
They smexy dance at the launch party for the magazine.
Right.
Where there's the ice sculpture that looks like the S, and there's all the cocktail waitresses. The hostesses are all in Supergirl costumes, and Kara shows up late and she's all frazzled. And yeah, she smexy dances with both of her suitors.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really call the one with Wynn a schmexy dance.
True.
It's more like a cutesy dance.
It's kind of like a middle school dance.
And then
James comes in and it's like a prom dance also.
Okay, so we're three episodes in. Are you team James or are you team Wynn?
I think I'm actually team James.
I see, I'm team Wynn.
Oh, okay. This is perfect.
This is good.
You're actually kind of dressed like Wynn right now.
Yes.
you kind of are.
I am. It's my teacher clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a really tight Henley right now.
Yeah, please God, stop.
So I'm just going to pull up my shirt real quick and let you see these.
One ab.
This one pack that I have here. It's a 40, actually.
Ew.
So we didn't talk about Maxwell Lord yet, really.
That's good.
He's kind of Tony Stark meets Steve Jobs meets Elon Musk.
Yeah, because he's got a train. Is that why he's Elon Musk?
Yeah,
because the train.
Yeah. I think it's Tony Stark. I mean, because Elon Musk is basically real life Tony Stark.
Right, yeah. His little story about the, like, I like blue stripes.
Yeah,
Because of my toys.
Right.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he is.
Thank you. He's not a really likable person. I mean,
no.
I don't think he's meant to be, but he's kind of going for this smarmy Tony Stark thing. But
there is some smarm.
But he's not. He's sleazy.
He's
charming.
A little sleazy. No, he's not.
He's sleazy.
He's yeah.
But also, Tony Stark is the hero of the story,
right?
And Maxwell Lord is traditionally
not
the hero of the story.
So yeah.
Do you think that Maxwell Lord hired Reactron?
That's a theory. And rewatching the episode, I did watch it with that in mind, and I got the feeling that it's possible. So it's not totally. I wouldn't say definitely not. I would say I think not, but it's definitely a possibility. Like, there are moments like when Reactron first shows up at the lab and he takes the random scientist dude, and Lord says, like, no, this guy's like an amateur compared to me. Take me.
Right.
There was a little bit of, like, maybe this is being staged. Maybe this is just to show. You know, to look good in front of his workers so that no one suspects him. I thought that maybe, like, okay. But then when they're alone, they're still talking like they don't really know each other.
Well, I thought that maybe it did start as like, no, take me, blah, blah, blah. But then upon fixing the suit, he was like, hey.
Listen, okay,
listen,
maybe, cut a deal then.
I'm a billionaire.
Yeah.
I've got a train.
It's
gonna be important later in this season.
How about we
do something about this? Yeah.
Well, either way, I mean, Reactron has been stopped for now. Whether Lord helps him out later, to you know.
Okay. Yes. Speaking of Reactron stop for now, does he need the reactor in his chest to survive?
Not to survive. It's just sort of his powers, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's just
she didn't kill him.
A very burned guy.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah. That's from, like, nuclear fallout and stuff.
Okay. Well, Ben Krull's got, like, he's got a couple of different stories, depending on what crisis area you're in and all these different things. And so I was introduced to the character through Sterling Gates during, you know, when he had a gold kryptonite heart and all those things, which is obviously not what they were going with here. It's more traditionally the first version of the character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my question. Also, did they say the reactor was going to explode if it wasn't encased in lead?
Yes.
Yeah, but it wasn't really encased in
lead. Yeah, I had a problem with that too. So she really just she melted lead onto her hand,
right,
and then held it. But she wasn't encasing it.
Right.
It
was, I thought she was gonna like take the bust and like put it in the bust.
Right. Or like
maybe she did afterwards.
No, she didn't. She totally didn't. She totally didn't. I'm not even gonna let you entertain that. No. That's a gaping hole to me. I mean, but she literally just melted lead onto her hand, so she was wearing sort of a lead glove.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, maybe she's gonna like remelt it around the reactor,
mm-hmm,
like with her heat vision again. But no, she just kind of held it and was like, okay, it's good now. And like, she was like walking too close to people and stuff. And I was like, they're human.
They're going to die.
They're not really covering it. But anyway, whatever. I'll let it go. I shouldn't, but I will.
I'm not going to make excuses, but I am.
I'm not making excuses. It was clearly like not covered and not covered in lead and it could have hurt people. It would have hurt
people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing the show this way because I do like it.
Yeah.
But there is the writers feel like they want to write the relationship part.
Yeah.
But they don't want to write the super heroic part.
Yeah.
And so when they get to those moments, they go, oh, well, she just holds it.
Explanation. Yeah.
Explanation. Yeah. If I, you know,
I agree. Okay. Yes. I will agree with that. And I think the writers are actually really, really great, but yeah, I have noticed that there have been moments a couple now, you know, in three across three episodes that we've seen, there have been moments where I'm like that, my comic book geeky needing an airtight explanation brain doesn't fully accept that.
Right. And I don't even think it's the comic book geeky side, because Lord knows there are loopholes and books and all that, mm-hmm, stuff. It's more like you said 2 minutes ago, it needs to be encased.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm watching it
and it's not encased,
right, but you're calling it a victory.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
it's just like, it's little things. It's like, just take one more sweep at that script. You know what I mean? That's more what it feels like. Just take one more sweep at it.
Yeah.
You know,
no, there are moments like that where I'm just like, ah, that doesn't feel like, how did that get through? How did someone not say like, guys, we have a problem?
Right. Well, you know what, the other side, I was thinking about this too. They might not have time to say this is a problem because the show is so effect heavy.
Yeah.
You know what
but
I mean? They
dude,
might be just on such a limited, like, but I mean, like.
But you don't let something get to, like no matter how effect heavy it is, like it never gets to air without like a million eyes looking at it from you know the director, the editor, the studio, and the network. Like all those people have to look at it and approve everything before it goes on the air. And the fact that something like that gets through, I'm like, I'm shocked. Like how did? I mean, again, it's relatively small in terms of storytelling,
mm-hmm,
but it's a noticeable thing,
right?
And I'm sure we're not the only ones who've noticed it.
No, so I mean. The first couple of episodes of any show, particularly a season one, I mean, really a season one, it takes a little bit to get going. These are the clunky things that every show has you got to work around. If they're still doing this and it's episode 20, you know, 20,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
You know.
If they're still doing it in like season two or three, then I'm really like.
Yeah, come on. Like, come on. You're better than this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You're better
season
than this.
One,
I believe
like,
in
again,
you.
I watched Smallville and like things in season one like don't really hold together for me in terms of like, come on, there should have been a reason, like that solution to that problem doesn't work, or that way that Clark defeated somebody didn't work. But it was season one, they were kind of new at it,
right?
You know,
this is like Kara being new at her job.
Yeah, Kara. Yeah, like Kara being new at her job. Yes,
I'm out of drink. I'm out. I can't talk anymore.
Can't say Kara anymore. Can't say Kara anymore.
This is a fun game.
Yeah.
So at the end,
yeah,
anyway, we get Kara, we get Clark IMing.
Yes.
Kara. She's a little snippy with Wynn, which I didn't like because I think he might
well,
be my favorite character.
Maybe we should backtrack as to why she was snippy with Wynn. So
yes,
she,
tell me because I don't remember.
So Alex is like,
yes,
listen, do what you want. Like, go ask out Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, right. I have it here
right,
with exclamation points.
Yeah.
Just totally
go,
bypassed
go,
right over
you know,
it.
Go on a date with him. Like, go get coffee with him. Like, you know, he makes you happy. Go do it. So she goes to like what march in the office, like all chipper and happy, and like, I'm gonna ask out my crush. And he's there with his ex girlfriend, who is Lucy Lane, Lois Lane's younger sister.
Bum bum bum.
Yeah. Played by Jenna Jawan Tatum, who is Channing Tatum's wife. P.S.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But she is, yeah. So she's like there and she's like let's make this work. Let's go get dinner. And he's like, fine, I'll get dinner with you. Kara, I'll talk to you later. And Kara's all like dejected, obviously,
well,
as anyone would
be. The dinner thing, she super heard.
Yes.
She, yeah.
Yes. And we did we say last week?
Yeah. How many conversations
how many times,
did she listen to?
And I was like, more than you think.
I mean, if you have super hearing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to,
yeah.
Right? It's tempting to,
yeah,
to do it all the time. And there you go. There's an example of it.
I mean, I have bad hearing, so I don't have to worry about that.
What?
It's just white noise most of the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's all sad about it because she overhears him, you know, planning to go out. And then Wynn comes over and he's talking to her and she's like, well, but she kind of just brushes him off. And because she's sad, because she's heartbroken.
Right. But he's heartbroken. I'm such team Wynn.
He's pining
for her
so hard.
Yeah.
He's pining for her pretty hard.
Yeah. He's got a great singing voice. Come on, Wynn.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Though. I don't see it happening. Then, yeah, then she gets this chat.
Jeremy Jordan is a renowned singer, for those of you who don't understand.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Clark chats her, and you know, she's like...
It was really nice.
It was really nice.
It was really nice.
It was a nice, tender moment.
Yep. And...
That felt a little weird that they were doing it over chat, but...
He's at work.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both at work. I know.
Yeah, it does... Like, they're working around this, we don't want to see him
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I like that he's in it enough. You know what I mean?
I like that he was in it.
I mean,
yeah.
It was very sweet. It was a very tender moment.
Yes.
It made him feel like less of a jerk to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It feels like less of like, I'm going to leave on your own kid.
Yeah,
like,
I got a volcanic eruption.
Right. I'm going to show up and save you when you need saving, when your friend tells me you need saving, but then I'm going to talk to you afterwards. Like, if they're in each other's lives, if she knows that he's Clark Kent, you know, like, then clearly there's some... There needs to be some relationship there. There needs to be a reason why she knows these things about him, why, you know, he cares enough to come find her other than just he's a good person and she's
right.
his cousin and all that stuff. Like, they have to have a relationship. I need to feel like there's a connection between them.
Right. Because they're the only two, I mean, that they know about.
Right.
And
Astra. Right.
Now,
Astra,
but,
too. Yeah, yeah. But yes, you're right. Yes. So there needs to be a relationship of some sort between them. And I'm glad that we got that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we see more of that. You know, whether it's texting or chatting or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean,
like,
just because they have super speed doesn't mean that they have the time
to
go and visit each other, you know, because maybe it takes them a couple of seconds to get there, but they're not going to have a talk at super speed,
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like, I live 40 minutes away from my brother, but I see him a couple of months because we're just busy people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't see much of a difference in between those things.
Sure.
And so I don't, I like the chat. Aspect.
I liked it a lot.
And I don't need her talking to him every week.
No.
But by not doing what I feared they were going to do, this like, oh, it's my cousin, the Man of Steel, the guy in blue, blah, blah, blah. They're just saying these are people that exist in this world, but they're living in that. They're living in a different city. They have their own things going on and tangentially connected. But it makes their world on CBS seem bigger than it even really is.
Right.
There's a lot going on in the bleed
mm-hmm.
on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Just at the end of the show, I thought Alex and Kara had a great dynamic at that end. They felt real, like the pillow toss, like, oh, right in the face. You know?
I loved more than ever in this episode, I loved the Kara-Alex dynamic.
Yeah.
The conversations, the very sisterly rapport that they've been building up. I think that partly that comes from the writers seeing that in them and wanting more of that. But I also think just the two of them getting to know each other better as actors.
I think so,
they can
too.
Play off each other better. And I think that they're doing phenomenal work
there. I think
there.
So, too. Like, they, you know, like, hope you get fat. You're like, not on this planet.
Exactly.
You know?
That was so great.
Yeah,
that was so great.
Which is it's a very nice loop around from the beginning of the episode with the sticky buns.
Yes,
and
yes.
All that stuff.
Loved it.
That's all very well played. I did write down, they said, don't watch Homeland without me. And she said,
yes.
And I wrote down, well, aren't they going to be surprised when they watch Homeland and they see David Harewood?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. That's absolutely true.
Aren't they going to be surprised?
Yeah.
Which leads precedent to my Martian Manhunter shapeshifting things, because definitely Martian Manhunter definitely watched Homeland and went, I like the look of that guy.
David Estes, director of the CIA.
Right. And that's where Hank Henshaw comes from. He led. I like the look of that guy.
All
I'm
right.
gonna be him.
That's
yeah.
cool. I'm good with that.
Yeah. I'm gonna be so happy if that's right.
If that's true.
I'm gonna be so happy.
And I thought that was. I was like, wow, they said the name of another show, and I was like, oh wait, it's on Showtime, and CBS and Showtime are owned by the same company, so they can do that.
Oh, I didn't know why. They, that was like it's impressive.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Well, yeah, it was interesting.
all right, a promo for next week.
Promo for... Oh, wait. Before we do that.
Okay.
There was a Cat Grant quote of the week this week. And that was... It's like riding a bike in childhood trauma. It never really goes away.
I did like that. I did like that.
We're just talking about writing. I thought that was... That needs to be mentioned. Because last week we had the... You know, the last time I go drinking with Ruth Bader Ginsburg at 9 a.m.
Yeah, she does have...
She has, like, the quippy quotes every week.
That's why she's the best character on the show.
She's one of the... Yeah. She actually might be, like, the most, like...
Yeah.
But I'm really... Alex is really growing on me. In the pilot, I thought Alex was a little bit flat in the pilot, but she in the episode since, I have completely changed my mind about that.
I think that might also just be part of her character because she is this, you know...
She's a new character they've invented for the show, and they are trying to find their footing with her.
That's not what I meant at all.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I wasn't talking from a writing standpoint.
Oh, sorry.
Like, go ahead. As the character herself, she's rigid because that's her job. You know
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
She's an agent. She's serious. It's business. It's this.
She's a scientist.
And so as we get to know her better as the show goes on, because she's almost warming up to us as an audience.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That kind of back and forth. So that's what I think. But promo for
next week.
Next week. No villains in the promo.
None.
That was the first thing I noticed when I watched. There are no villains in this promo.
Nope.
We're trying to hit a different audience now.
Maybe it was, you know, I'm noticing that the U.S. promos versus the Canadian promos, the U.S. promos are very much more focused on the love triangle and on like, oh, silly Kara saying silly thought. Oh, damn it.
Now you're out too.
Silly Kara saying silly things like, what a silly girl. Can't you relate to her? That seems to be what they're doing on the U.S. promos, but the Canadian promos are a lot more like, action and villains and blah, like you know, it's a lot
more.
Do
they say it like that?
No, but they might as well. So I don't know. I find that.
So did you watch the Canadian promo for this episode?
I haven't seen for this episode yet.
Well, then what are you talking about?
Comparing last week for the episode we just saw.
Yeah,
it was like Reactron is here, and the U.S. one was like sticky buns.
Oh, like, see, that's interesting because I saw the Reactron video.
Okay. Okay.
But I didn't see the sticky
okay.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm watching Canadian promos and I don't know it.
Maybe you are. But now I saw the CBS promo for this upcoming episode, and it was you're right, no villains. No villains. I'm interested to see when the Canadian promo does come out, you know, what will it be? Will we see villains in that one? Is there less of a villain focus in this upcoming episode?
Maybe they're doing this thing where she actually doesn't fight somebody every episode.
Maybe.
I would actually be very curious.
That would be a welcome surprise, honestly.
You know, I would be because I've said before, I've said on other podcasts, and I've said with you, I don't know if I've ever said on this podcast, that some of my favorite superhero stories are the ones where they don't fight anybody.
Yeah, me too.
But it's about character growth for me. I'm more interested in that than a fight scene. And so, which is why I like this show, because it's very interesting.
It's very interested
in character growth. The fight scenes are secondary, which they still need to be good and have reason and logic, but I'm more interested in growth. Just from a writing standpoint.
Yeah.
I'll be very curious to see what happens next week.
Yeah, me too.
Or maybe there's some big reveal and they don't want to show us in the trailer.
That's the other thing that I am thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Who knows?
Very possible. Yeah.
So there we go.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again to our sponsors, Supergirl.tv, In Stock Trades, and DCBS for their support. Once again, for the podcast to speak. If you want to find us on Twitter, we are at TV Supergirl. You can live tweet along with us on the East Coast for new Supergirl episodes every Monday and get news throughout the week about what's going on with the show. SupergirlTVTalk.com is where we post this podcast and the show notes, as well as our reviews now from Corinne every week. SupergirlTVTalk@gmail.com is the best way to send us your long form feedback other than your tweets. And tell us what you think of each episode and, you know, some of your theories and what you thought about what we had to say. If you agree with us, disagree with us. Who do you think Hank Henshaw is? Is he a Martian Manhunter? Is he Cyborg Superman? Is he somebody else altogether? Tell us what you think. Please send us your iTunes reviews if you find us on iTunes. That is a great way to support the show. We've been the number one Supergirl podcast on iTunes, and we want to be back there and stay there. So please, please be sure to send us your iTunes reviews or just a rating. You know, a 5-star rating is always appreciated. Recommend us on the Overcast app. Great way to promote the show as well. Find us on the Satchel Media Player and Google Play Store. All great places to find the show. So many places to interact with us. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm out.
I'm out. You're out.
We should get more, but we're out.
But we're out.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about another episode of Supergirl. But until then, goodbye, good luck, and up and away.